Most of us look forward to the time when we can retire from the day-to-day grind of work. You might even be one of those retired folks yourself. But Pastor Al Pittman says we should never retire from doing God's work.
It doesn't mean that we retire from being useful for the ministry or for the service of God. We're still men who ought to be at war spiritually, accepting and embracing the challenges of the church. Not sitting back going, well, that's for the young folks, and I'm just, you know, what's on TV. You know, no, we're to be engaging the challenges of the church, the spiritual challenges of the church. We're not to be sitting back because we have a lot to give back to the church. You know, in our later years, we do our best work.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Those who are older in the faith have so much that they've learned about God. They've seen His faithfulness over the years, tasted of His power and grace, and have so much to share with the younger people who are beginning their lives and walks with God. Yet, quite often, older people take on a different attitude. It's time to let the younger people do it now. Well, today on The Dwelling Place, we'll return to our study of Titus, and Pastor Al Pittman will encourage the senior saints to be all that God wants them to be. If you fall into that category, prepare to be challenged. Here's Pastor Al in Titus chapter 2.
Chapter 2. I've entitled this message, A Proper Union, because here Paul turns his attention from, he's already addressed elders in the church, qualifications for elders, and then he addressed the disqualified people within the church, the false teachers who contaminated the church. He talked about dealing with them. And now today, he's turning his attention to those within the church and our relationships. He doesn't go into great detail, but there's several categories that he speaks in, and one speaks probably to all of us, but there are four, basically. He speaks to older men, and then he speaks to younger men. He speaks to older women and to younger women. Speaking of proper relationships that we ought to have, what that relationship or our position or relationship, I should say, within the church, what it looks like. What is proper? What is according to sound doctrine as a older man in the church? What is according to sound doctrine as a young man in the church and a older woman in the church or a younger woman in the church? And then he has another category, which he calls to bond servants. Now, bond servants, you know, we talked about what bond servants were some time ago, but they were the people who were probably taken captive and because of a war or something, and to be slaves for the children of Israel. But then at some point, the children of Israel would give them their freedom. But they would say, you know what? It's been so great living with you that I want to serve you the rest of my life. And they would take them to the doorpost of the house, and they would pierce their ear with an awl, A-W-L, an awl, pierce their ear, and they would have a ring put in their ear and signifying that they would be a bond servant to that household for the rest of their life. So they called them bond servants. They willingly served. And so he addresses bond servants, and bond servants today, we don't have bond servants, probably in some remote places of the world. It's still going on. But for us, we can translate that bond service to employees. Amen. So it probably speaks to a lot of us. Some of us are self-employed, and maybe you own your own business or you're a boss or whatever. But he wants to speak to young men, young women, old women, and all of us as employees. In other words, addressing our relationships within the church, but also addressing our relationship beyond the walls of the church. So we're going to look at those two things today. And then in verses 11 to 15, it's really what I feel is the application of what Paul is saying. Because in verses 11 to 15, he's saying basically, you can't be the old man you ought to be, or the young man you ought to be, or the old woman or the young woman, or the employee you need to be, unless you do these things in verses 11 to 15. So we'll look at verses 11 to 15 as part of the application. So we're going to start right at the very beginning, the Apostle Paul, and he addresses the old guys. Amen? He dives right in there, and I'm one of those. So he says here in verse 1 of Titus chapter 2, but as for you, here's an exhortation to Titus, Pastor Titus. He says, as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. And then he goes into what is proper, a proper behavior for the older and et cetera. So he starts with the older men. He says in verse 2 that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. He describes what's the proper behavior of the old men, older men. I like to use the term mature, but Paul says older, men within the church. You know, they say there are seven stages to a man's life. Maybe you've heard this before. There are spills, drills, thrills, bills, ills, pills, and wills. Amen. So I want to address the guys in the church on the other side of thrills. Amen. And, you know, we're kind of an older men of the church. And so Paul is saying, you older men of the church, this is how you ought to behave. According to sound doctrine, you ought to be sober, number one. You ought to be sober. Now, that word sober is, you know, that's speaking of drunkenness, but it's speaking of being discreet and being watchful. The older men of the church ought to be discreet and watchful within the church. I thank God that we have a church of older men who are mature in the word of God and who are watchful. They know when a wolf when they see one. They know sound doctrine when they hear it. They know bad doctrine when they hear it as well. And so he says, be sober. He says, be reverent. The older men should be reverent. In other words, that word means honorable. We should be honorable. We should be temperate. Temperate, that means sound in mind, you know. No fool, like they say, like an old fool. We should be sound in our mind, in our thinking. Sound also in our faith, in truth and in doctrine. Sound in love, not bitter old men. We should be patient, and we should have, that means we should have endurance, and we should be hopeful. You know, it should be, in essence, I think, you know, to be around the older guys at church ought to give the younger guys and the younger ladies hope. We ought to be, man, look at this guy. He's been through a lot, but you know what? He brings me hope. His faith is still intact. Hopeful. Do we radiate that, you know? Do we hope in the lives of other people? Do we promote that in the lives of other people, you know? Or are we walking around bitter, embittered souls, you know? You know, God doesn't want us to be like the African bull elephant. And what I mean by that is that when we were in Kenya last time, we were on this safari that kind of never really was a safari because we never saw any animals. So I guess that's not a safari. Well, we were looking for animals, and we stopped at the one place because we saw the bushes, the trees going back and forth and all this. And the guy said, there's something in there. So we got out and said, what is it? And we heard this thing snorting, you know, and we heard trees being knocked over, crashing and, you know, cracking and limbs being broke off by this massive beast that was in there. So what is it? He said, that's an African bull elephant, and they're very dangerous. So why are they dangerous? Well, what happens, they grow old, they're not as useful anymore to the herd, so they become isolated from the herd, they get embittered, they get angry, and they become dangerous. And anybody that comes near them, they want to kill them. They sound like a lot of old guys I know. God doesn't want us to be like that old African bull elephant. Of course, by the way, we never did see him. He wouldn't come out, and we sure weren't going to go in and get him. I think Caleb is a great example of how to grow old as a man in the church, gracefully. Old Caleb, at the age of 85, declared this. He said in Joshua 14:11, he says, as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war. Not for a rocking chair, but for war. Both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. I love that spirit of Caleb. 85 years old. He said, I was 40 when I went, a little spring chicken at 40, when I went into the land to spy out the land for Moses. He says, I'm 45 years later. I'm 85 years old, and I'm looking for a mountain. He wasn't looking for retirement. He said, I'm ready to go to war for going out and coming in. I think it speaks of the older men of our church. Sometimes we fall into that mentality that, well, I'm almost at retirement. You know, retirement is not a biblical principle. Now, you know, I'm not blaming if you retire, you retire. But listen, it doesn't mean that we retire from being useful for the ministry or for the service of God. We're still men who ought to be at war spiritually, accepting and embracing the challenges of the church, Not sitting back going, well, that's for the young folks, and I'm just, you know, what's on TV. You know, no, we're to be engaging the challenges of the church, the spiritual challenges of the church. We're not to be sitting back because we have a lot to give back to the church. You know, in our later years, we do our best work. I remember talking to a well-known Bible teacher, theologian, pastor. If I said his name, you go, oh, that guy, he's well-known. And I remember meeting him, and at the time, he was about 70. And I said, boy, I said, I don't know what I said to him, but I somehow got him to respond to this question whereby I said something along the lines of maybe, you know, how's the ministry or something like that. And he says, oh, it's a blast now. He says, almost at the age of 70, he says, I finally feel like I have something to say. And I thought to myself, almost another 20 years. Then I'll finally have something to really say. Amen. And I thought about that. I thought, you know, there's some guys you meet at 25, they think they know it all. 30, you think they know it all. 40, oh, man, they've arrived. 45, well, don't tell me nothing. 50, oh, I know everything. Here he is at 70 years old going, you know what? I finally have something to give back. We do our best work in our later years. Benjamin Franklin was 81 years old when he helped to pen the Declaration of Independence. Ronald Reagan was 70 when he became the 40th president of the United States. We do our best work in our later years, guys. Older men, God wants us engaged within the body of Christ. He wants us to be active within the body of Christ, not sitting back, letting the young folks take the lead. So old men. And then he moves on to older women and younger women. I can spend a lot of time on all these. I need to keep it moving here. Older women and younger women, verses 3-5. The older women, likewise, what likewise? Like the men, you know, being temperate and all and patient and love and reverent. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not giving too much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish to young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed.
The challenges for wives are just as great as the challenges for anyone else in this day and age. Are you up for the challenge? On behalf of Pastor Al, I would like to ask you to consider becoming a financial partner with us. Your consistent financial support enables us to keep this radio ministry moving forward. To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now, once again, here's Pastor Al with the conclusion of today's message in Titus chapter 2.
So he kind of puts the older women and the younger women together. And he says, likewise, be like the older men for these older women. And then he talks about the younger women as well. But there are two things that the older women ought not to do. Number one, they should not be slanderers, that is, false teachers. And oftentimes, you know, sometimes women love to communicate. Amen. And especially maybe as older women, not as busy with the children and stuff anymore, and it's good to get on the phone and start talking and whatever. And Paul says, and he figured it out back then, and I think, we can apply it to our situation today, but they need to be careful. Older women need to be careful that they're not being false accusers, slanderers. And we saw last Wednesday in the list of seven things that God hates in the book of Proverbs, not dislikes a little bit, but he hates seven things. Number six was a false witness. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19, a false witness. He says, number one, don't be a slanderer. You older women, number two, do not be given to much wine. Do not be given to much wine, which is a good rule. It's the same rule that he had for the, if you see in chapter 1, that he had for the elders as well in verse 7. But there's also two things that they should do. Those two things they shouldn't do. Two things that you should do. Number one, they should be reverent. I already touched on that. They should be reverent. In other words, they should have conduct in accordance with holiness. Conduct in accordance with holiness, with godliness. Should be godly women. Number two, they should be teachers of good things. Teachers of good things. What are they to teach? They're to be teachers to the younger women. And then Paul gives sort of a curriculum what they're to teach here, if you will. And here's the reason why he said this is why this needs to happen. He says in verse 5, the latter part, he says, so that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Now, that word blaspheme means reviled. You know, so, you know, the very people we're trying to reach with the gospel, they can't hear what we're saying because what we're doing is so loud. And so, you know, let these teach the younger women so that they can live lives that will glorify God, so that the message of the gospel will not be reviled. And so here are seven topics that Paul goes through. We'll go through them quickly, that he encourages the older women of the church to teach the younger. And by the way, I thank God that we have this going on in our church, within our women's ministry, and we have a strong women's ministry here, and I thank God for that. A lot of churches cannot say that, but we have women here who are teaching other women, going to Bible studies, and so I praise God for that. But these are some of the things that Paul said that we ought to be teaching, and I think probably all these areas, I'm sure they are covered, even in a lot of the Bible studies that we have for the women even now. But number one, he said, teach the women to love their husbands. Now, it sounds pretty simple, love your husbands. But the world doesn't want women, wives, to love their husbands, but rather to just love themselves. And then he says, love your children, number two. Sounds pretty easy, love your children, but you know, we live in a society today where a lot of people discard their children. I'm not talking about folks who got in a bad situation or something, and you know, teenage pregnancy or something, and you thought, well, the best thing is to give the child up for adoption and all of that rather than having an abortion or something. I mean, sometimes we've had experiences like that in the past, but I'm talking about a mother who has a child and neglects that child. You know, we read about some of these women who are starving their children to death, got them locked up in the closet and stuff like this and parts of the country. And, you know, these things going on. Hits the news every now and then. And the neglect and the abuse of children. He said, love your children. Love them. It's the third thing that the older women ought to teach the younger is to be discreet. To be discreet. That is to be sound of mind, sober thinking. In other words, don't be driven by your emotions. Don't be driven by your feelings. You know. The world's so touchy-feely now, and people are like, well, I didn't feel, and I want to feel. Ladies, be women of faith, women who live according to the word of God and not by your feelings, because your heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And you can't know your heart. You feel one day one way and another way, and the next day you'll feel a different thing. Amen. Amen. I should probably just move on, kind of push through, Al. Come on, you're doing it good. But it happens. I mean, we know that. You know, guys, we live with our wives. We know that sometimes that's the way it is. And, you know, feelings can try to dominate your thinking and your perception in life. Let the word of God do that for you. And then he says the fourth thing to teach him is to teach him to be chaste. Not chaste by other men. Teach him to be chaste. Chaste. Women. That word means modest. Teach them to be modest. Modesty is something lost on this generation. In fact, to be immodest today is totally acceptable. The more modest you can be, you know, the more cool it is. I don't know. And, you know, I know there's different styles and stuff today than it was when I was a teenager and all that. And, you know, my goodness, every time I want to start getting down on this generation, I think about what we wore in the 70s, and I go, thank you, Jesus. Anyway, so I understand there's different styles and all of that. But as women, older women, are to teach the younger women how to be modest. There's a phenomenon right now in Britain called Britain's Ladette culture. Ladette culture, L-A-D-E-T-T-E, culture. And I was reading about this the other day. It's weird. This is a deal where women think it's cool and wonderful to go out and get drunk out of their minds and then late at night on the streets, staggering down the street, you know, engaging in all kind of very corrupt and abominable behavior. And it's like the rage. And they've had to pass laws and to, you know, keep people off, women off the street. These are the women. And I know it's like, it's, you know, you could look at that and go, boy, that's disgusting. But sometimes I have to think, you know, when we see the way our women are behaving, look at where the men are. And the women are usually a reflection of what the men, or where the men are in society. And so they're just reflecting what's going on in their society. But in the church, it ought to be different. We ought to have chaste women, women of modesty. And the older women are to teach the younger. Now, be careful that you're not teaching them according to maybe, you know, some spirit of envy in the sense that, you know, I'm older and I can't wear what she's wearing, so I'm jealous, so I'm going to tell her not to wear that. Amen? Amen. You know, just because you can't wear it anymore and she can and she look good in it doesn't mean that you got to be mad at her. She's in sin. Amen. When I talk about modesty, I'm not talking about your opinion. I'm talking about that which is immodest. And I don't think I need to describe that to you. And there's a way to go to somebody in a nice, gentle way and to say, hey, sister, I love you, in a loving way, in a spirit of humility, and to speak to them about that. You know, because a lot of times the women don't know. Everybody wasn't raised in the church. Everybody wasn't raised in the holiness church and all this kind of stuff. So a lot of times people just need to be told, but in a loving way. Because, you know, we will never be a church where we're focused on the outward things, but focused on that which is in the inside. And I'll never forget the story of Chuck Smith and how when the hippies were coming into the church and back in the old Jesus movement days, and they were coming in with no shoes on and sand between their toes and sticking their toes up through the communion cup holders in the back of the pews, and the board and the elders were upset, and they said, we got to do something about these kids, and we got to tell them they can't come in here. And Chuck said, if you do that, he said, you know, what you should do is just, you know, rip up the carpet, because they're concerned about the carpet being messed up. He said, then get the carpet out of here. We're about people. And we're about people here at Calvary Worship Center. But there is a charge in Scripture. We see it here for the older women to teach the younger women to be modest. And so I'll leave it at that. A lot more to be said, but I need to move on. Number five, teach the women to be homemakers. Now, again, Paul is speaking primarily to women who are at home. So, you know, a lot of women have to work, single moms, sometimes husband and wife both have to work. So that's understandable. He's not addressing that. He's addressing those who are homemakers, who are at home or taking care of the kids. He said, be good homemakers. Teach them, older women, teach them how to be good homemakers. You know, we laugh at some of those old newsreels from the 50s of women being good homemakers and stuff. But there was some virtue in that. You know, there's nothing wrong in being a good homemaker. Thank God, you know, that for women who are homemakers, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And there's a validity to that. And it's not to be put down as the world would try to put down a woman because she's a homemaker. No, you're of great, tremendous value, not only to the church, but to the world. And then he said, teach them to be good. That word good means to be a benefit. And then the seventh thing he said in the curriculum, if you will, he says to teach them to be obedient to their own husbands. Amen. To their own husband, not somebody else's husband, you know, but to their own husbands. And I say that because sometimes in churches, some women are so busy being spiritual that they don't take time to be wives. They're always down at the church. Every time the pastor say, come down to the church and all this kind of stuff, they're always down at the church. But to the neglect, now I'm talking about to the neglect of your husband. I don't believe that God honors that. Well, he's not saved. He's still your husband.
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman. If you'd like to hear this message again, you can listen, watch, or download with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're there checking our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device. And take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. We're excited to announce that our Calvary Worship Center online store is now available at cwccs.org. You can order shirts, Pastor Al's books, music, and more. Every purchase goes back into the ministry to further the gospel and help support this radio ministry. Just go to our website at cwccs.org and click on the store tab and make your purchase today. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. Presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.